Coming up next on The Voice of Alabama Politics, let's ban some books. Also, the state hires more lawyers to fight culture wars. And Alabama's asking the Supreme Court to throw away the Voting Rights Act.
Drive like this?
Well, no. Usually it's more radical, man.
Just some good old boys. All this and much, much more coming up next on The V. Welcome to The Voice of Alabama Politics, where we tackle the tough issues so you have the hard facts. I'm your host, Bill Britt, and as always, I'm joined by Susan Britt, research guru extraordinaire, and Josh Moon, investigative reporter and columnist at APR. Welcome.
Hi, guys. Hey, y'all.
Well, Josh, on Monday, Susan, Alabama did what Alabama almost always does. Mm-hmm. It said once again that our state motto is not we dare to defend our rights, but we dare to defend our wrongs, and even more so, we are the make me state.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because the state of Alabama, in the guise of Edmund LeCour, the Solicitor General, argued before the 3-judge panel over redistricting and said basically, gave him the Bronx cheer. Said, yeah. We are defying the court. I mean, one of the judges asked him repeatedly, are you defying the court? And he said, we are doing everything that we feel we have to do. Susan, that is defiance, just like when George Wallace stood in the doorway of the University of Alabama to not allow black students to come to school. Once again, we're back because we can't have two black majority districts in this state because the Republican supermajority says no.
Exactly. Well, and the truth of that is that because the black districts will be Democrat. That's a given in the state of Alabama. You know, the Republicans are the white party and Democrats are the black party, and they can't have too many Democrats in D.C. They've already been told by the Speaker of the House that they've got to maintain the Republican control in Alabama because they don't want to let the get away from them in the House.
I mean, Josh, you know, this is a national issue. It is not a state issue now. It should be a state issue. But as Paul Reynolds said, the Algott meeting, we have to overturn Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act, or the Republican Party will never control the House of Representatives again. I think that's an overstatement. But if you have to gerrymander to win, isn't there something wrong with your policies?
Yeah. I mean, the way this is supposed to work. And wait, but before I go on, let me just say, Edmund LeCour will make a fantastic name for the villain in the future civil rights movies that will come from this. You know, the way this is supposed to work in a representative government is not that you have a political party that holds a certain number of policies and beliefs that they just hold on to no matter what. And then they go out and find the voters or force the voters into that party to vote for them. What's supposed to happen is the people who represent the voters that we elect and we send to Congress and to the legislature and to all these different places, they are supposed to represent what their constituents want. Okay. So if you're sitting up there and you're standing on a stage and you're saying, well, if we don't do this, then these people, then we'll never be able to control the House again. Well, change your policies to reflect the wishes of the majority of voters, and you will always control the House, okay? I mean, it's pretty simple, and that's the way it's supposed to work. You don't get to pick your voters. The voters get to pick you.
But, you know, and that is a problem. And the problem is that 27% of Alabama's population are black. Mm-hmm. And so, by the math, the Supreme Court went along with this, that we should have two majority minority districts. Mm-hmm. And but They said that the likelihood is that the state would lose. So what they're counting on is they want to redo, and that's what LaCour basically said, we want to start back at the beginning. And the judges said, well, no, we're not starting back at the beginning. But they want to start back at the beginning because they believe that Brett Kavanaugh, Associate Justice Brett Kavanaugh, can be persuaded to do away with the Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act based on his dissent or partial dissent, in which he said that Section 2 at some point would need to sunset, basically. And because obviously there's no more racism in the South.
Right.
That's gone.
Well, and Clarence Thomas pretty much agreed with him that this was something that needed to go away. It was outdated. No. It's still needed, obviously, based on this case, what they're doing with this case. It's obvious. Yes, we still need it.
It's still needed because we won't follow just plain decency here. And you know, the interesting thing, Josh, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, is that the House, the Alabama House of Representatives, did not want to follow this path. Nathaniel Ledbetter and the House members did not want to follow this path, but the Senate was convinced by Steve Marshall and LaCour and that they could overturn Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act and become national heroes. This is really about Steve Marshall's goal to become somebody rather than the loser he is. But Josh, LaCour was in there with the legislature drawing the maps.
Yeah, that's nice, huh? To what end? Hero to who? That's what I would love to ask. Is hero to who? Who, you know, if you're looking to celebrate an accomplishment, do you think that history is going to hold you in high regard for upending the Voting Rights Act and making it okay to gerrymander and pack black voters into districts, and so you can lessen the impact of their vote? Is this what you believe is going to be a lasting legacy that's going to make your future family members proud? How many times do we need to repeat this process in the state of Alabama and have ourselves show up on movie screens 15, 20 years down the road, in which we are, portrayed as backwards rubes that love racism and hate people because of the color of their skin? I mean, that's what we're doing again. We're doing it all over again. And I don't understand this desire for this, and I don't understand how you miss this problem and how you miss the historical portrayal of so many people that have come before you.
Well, it is in the short. All right, Steve Marshall wants to become a hero to the Republican Party so that he can get to his next office that he wants. It has nothing to do with what he thinks history is going to reflect. He doesn't care about that. He only cares about his career. And that's the problem with the Republicans that we have in this state right now, is that they're only worried about their careers. They won't stand up for anything because they're afraid of everybody, and they take their political position over what's good for the state and what's good for the country.
All right, well, that's going to have to be the last word on that one. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. We'll be right back.
As a paramedic, you wouldn't believe the things that we've seen.
I've seen all types of horrible things.
I mean, we're there basically picking up the pieces from your worst day.
Everyone is just driving and not paying attention.
We all have the same goal. All of us want to go home alive and safe and harm nobody else in the process.
Slow down. Be careful. Care about the other people on the road. Don't be the reason that someone else doesn't go home tonight.
Today, Montgomery is a safer city. It's time to shift the narrative and take control of our future. We're reopening community centers, remediating blight, and revitalizing neighborhoods across the city. And we're unleashing new opportunities. Over the past year, companies have invested a record-setting $2 billion in Montgomery and created 2,000 jobs. This is a new Montgomery. And together, we're reimagining the possibilities.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. I tell you, Susan, It seems like the Medical Cannabis Commission is smoking their own supply. I mean, it really does. It seems like they're smoking their own supply.
I don't have to agree with that.
Multiple lawsuits have been filed in the Montgomery County Court, Circuit Court, over the fact that they have allegedly violated Alabama's Open Meetings Act. And I'm telling you, as somebody who has read it, studied it, and lived by it, I believe they didn't just violate it. I mean, they stomped on that sucker flat. I mean, they paid no attention to the Open Meetings Act. They took it,
laid the Open Meetings Act in the hall, went in a room, and shut the door.
Yeah.
That's what they did. That you can't do that. You can't make the kind of decisions that they made in that room and not violate the Open Meetings Act. The executive part of this has to do with sensitive information. Say, if you're talking about somebody's medical condition or you're talking about some sort of... deciding who's going to get these nominations is not sensitive information. That's the information that's actually supposed to be in the open meetings so we can hear what you're discussing.
Josh, they just have messed this thing up so badly. I had one Republican friend of mine email me and say, how is it that a group of smart men and women on the Cannabis Commission, including lawyers and doctors, have listened to two lawyers who have taken them down the pathway to hell? And he's talking about Jason A. Day and William Webster as being, and he referred to them as second-tier law students.
Well, what he was telling them is, oh, it's all right. You can break the law. It's no big deal.
Anyway.
Essentially. Yes.
Josh,
yeah.
go ahead.
Yeah, they really, there's a whole lot to unpack with the Cannabis Commission and what they've done. And the Open Meetings Act is a good place to start because, you know, they throughout this process, they've raised so many questions. And I'll bring up one. Going through some of the applications and resumes and things that went through. There was one for Hornet Medicinals. Hornet Medicinals is a company that is 51% owned by Alabama State University, one of the oldest historically black colleges in America, located in Montgomery, Alabama, and has been for 156 years. Well, you'll note on their scoring sheet that Alabama's this Hornet Medicinals did not qualify as a minority vendor. That's question one. Question two is they're also got checked or dinged for residency issues. Been here 156 years. I don't know how long you need to be here. I'm pretty sure they're still here. But I contacted William Webster and asked, you know, can somebody explain how in the world ASU doesn't get minority status and is dinged for residency issues as a 51% owner? And he's, you know, couldn't talk because it was litigation issues and that sort of thing. But here's the thing. He shouldn't have to talk. All of this should have played out in front of people, and these discussions right. should have been held, and everybody should have been able to ask questions such as, whoa, wait a minute. I think ASU might qualify for minority status. Is there a reason why we're not giving them minority status?
Yeah,
wait, why is ASU getting deemed for residency things on Hornet Medicinals over here? That sort of thing. And I tried to contact the folks at ASU, and they're all nice and cordial, and they don't want to talk about it, and they don't want to ruffle any feathers or anything, and they're going to let the legal process kind of play out. And I get that, too. I get that as well. And so I'm speaking out for everybody here. But it just is... This is the sort of thing that happens when you don't follow the Open Meetings Act. You raise these questions that happen in secret, especially when you've already had this monumental failure on the front end from the scoring, which you said was flawed. Then you come back and just arbitrarily decide, you know what? We're not even going to worry about the scoring unless you're nominated.
Right.
Okay.
And that's really a huge problem. Huge problem. Because what they did is they went into executive session. And they gave the commissioners ballots. And they asked them to write down their nominees. And then in private, they did that. And then the staff took up those ballots, those secret ballots, tabulated them. And then that's what was given
That is illegal. That is illegal. That's the definition of an illegal meeting. It's a definition of it.
That's exactly why the Open Meetings Act was passed.
Open Meetings Act specifically makes it illegal to do exactly that. I mean, it's just unreal.
Well, now William Webster, who is a boy genius for sure, I mean, what he said is that nominations are different than voting.
Nominations are different.
But in any political world, you have to nominate. That's a voting process, to be nominated. Even if you're doing it, I'm singularly nominating. Yes. It is a voting process. So I don't know how you get around the plain English of that.
No, listen, if you've ever attended an open meeting, a public meeting of any sort, you know what this process is. And you know that at times they'll go through something along this. Let's say for a school board member or for a school board president, for example, they'll have, okay, we're going to nominate X and X for school board president. And then the board's going to vote. But wait, first, we do need to talk about that person's good name and character. So we're going to go into executive session briefly, and we're going to discuss that person's good name and character. And then we're going to come out, and we're going to give you a report from that executive session. And then we're going to hold the vote and discussion about the vote in public. And none of that happened.
Not a bit. Well, it was interesting. Judge Charles Price, who sits on the commission, basically said, so are we going into this executive session to talk about the names of these people, you know, who they are and all that? And Webster says, well, we can. He said, no, I'm not asking you, can we? I'm asking, are we? And he said, are we doing this to get around the Open Meetings Act? And that, so it's right there in the transcript.
Yeah. The judge is talking about this. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, it's just, there's a reason why we put judges on the commission so you don't get around the Open Meetings Act. I mean,
well, once again, they are it's consuming their own stash, evidently.
Yeah, definitely.
Because there's no way you can mess this up this bad. The lawsuits will keep coming. It'll keep getting the judges to rule against them. And this is where we're at until they change their ways.
In the meantime, people are suffering while y'all are squabbling.
Yeah. All right. We have to leave it right there. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. Smoke them if you got them.
My personal biggest pet peeve is kids who are not properly restrained, whether that be in a booster seat, a car seat, or even a simple seatbelt. Kids, they become projectiles, and it's terrifying.
It absolutely breaks my heart to know that something so innocent could be punished so severely.
Your children rely on you to be that person that says, no, you need to put your seatbelt on.
When I first started off, it was all about being an entrepreneur. Very quickly, it went into all the environmental impact that we're having on our world right now. We needed a technology that could do something with all the plastics that are harder to recycle. We innovated and created a technology, advanced recycling.
Your home is your most valuable asset, but what if someone tried to steal it from you? Property fraud is one of the fastest growing areas of fraud in the country today.
As a district attorney, I've seen firsthand the devastating effects of property fraud. That's why I'm proud to support the Montgomery County Probate Court's REACT program.
REACT is designed to protect your property and to give you peace of mind. By signing up, you'll receive an email notification if a document is filed against your property.
This program is a game changer. It has the potential to prevent fraud and protect countless homeowners throughout Montgomery County.
So don't wait. Sign up for REACT today and protect your home.
Protect your home with REACT. Sign up today.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. You know, Susan, in politics, 100,000 here, 100,000 there, that's not even real money anymore. You know, a million here, a million there, starts to add up. But now it's 10 million, 20 million. But this is a small thing we're going to talk about. But the Attorney General's office, Steve Marshall, has hired a law firm that he's paying, well, the taxpayers are paying.
Yeah, he's not paying any of
it. To help him fight culture wars. Specifically, they are here to help him fight for parental rights, to not take care of transgender youths. He had these people, he's hiring them to do it. And that's what they do. They have a whole law firm that runs around trying to meddle in people's lives, private lives.
Yes, yes. And it's not fighting, it's advancing. It's more an advancement of the idea of, you know, not medically treating transgender children and things like that than it is an actual fight. Once again, here we go with Steve Marshall and is trying to get his next office. And it pains me to see, you know, that the taxpayers are actually having to pay for this.
The Child and Parental Rights Campaign is who's paying Josh, and they describe themselves as fighting to shield children against gender identity ideology.
Yeah, it's a great group. You know, I will somewhat give Steve Marshall a break on this. Because while he did hire them, he is tasked with defending this legislation that came from our Alabama lawmakers. Okay?
That's true.
And so we can't knock him over the head over this. Although, again, he did hire this group of, you know, crazies that we're going to pay $100,000+ to. To come in here and suck up money that's, you might as well just toss it out the car window because we're going to lose this case. And so he did do that. But at the same time, our group of lawmakers are the ones who passed this law, despite everybody telling them that, hey, this is, number one, harmful to children and is going to cause the death of vulnerable children. And number two, doctors are telling you not to do this because we have a whole strategy for how to handle this and it's working quite well. And number three, stop it. You've got other things to worry about, you know?
Well,
I mean,
and this goes back to nationalizing the party movement.
Yeah.
So some political strategists came up with an idea that they would float that transgender youths were in danger and that the Republican Party could save them from these terrible parents and these terrible doctors. And it actually worked. And so instead of just having it, you know, in one state, they spread it everywhere, giving like legislation everywhere and convincing people that government should go in and tell parents how they should, A, raise their children, B, how they should take care of their medical and mental health, and C, that invites government into your home to take away your children. Now, I remember back when they threatened Hillary and Bill Clinton because Hillary wanted to said that it took a village to raise children. And the Republicans went, it doesn't take a village, it takes good parents. Well, these are good parents trying to raise children in a difficult situation.
It is. And I mean, we're not talking about going in and doing invasive surgeries and stuff like that. We're talking about puberty blockers, for Pete's sake. Slowing puberty down. All right? We're not talking about, oh, well, we're just going to change the gender of the child. No, it's basically slowing puberty down until, you know, the child is old enough to make their own decisions.
Well, and there's lots of counseling and all that.
Oh, yes.
Now, yeah, it's years long in the process.
Yes,
years, it is. And if you go and look this up and read it, my God, just go and look it up and read it and listen to the stories of people and doctors and parents and stuff and look what they go through and look what they're trying to prevent and look at the struggles that those kids have and look how these decisions are made. You will walk away from it thinking, what the hell was I talking about? I didn't know anything about this, and this is something that I need to learn. But the problem is there's so few transgender children out there that most people have no interaction with them, and so they only believe the boogeyman stories that are coming from the right-wingers and Fox News.
Right. And again, it's propaganda. It is not governing. It's not. It is finding.
It's fear-mongering.
It's creating a problem, then, or identifying a problem that really doesn't exist, and then trying to legislate it out of existence so that you are popular with the base. Now, I got to tell you, this guy, Dr. Willard Riley, now he could be in your movie, Josh, because this guy, he's an expert on redistricting. Now, his claim to fame is that he's written two books. One is Hate Crime Hoax, How the Left is Selling Fake Race War. That's one. That's a good one. Another one is Taboo, 10 Facts You Can't Talk About in 2020. And one of the things, Susan, you might take issue with this, is that he says that the wage gap between men and women is just virtually non-existent, and it's just a hoax. It's made up.
Yeah, well, obviously he's a male saying that, isn't he?
Yeah.
He needs to go back and look at his statistics. I mean, we're statistically, over the years, at a giant deficit. I mean, it's not as much as it was maybe 30 years ago, but it's still a deficit.
And Josh,
is he
going to
be the keynote speaker at the Neo-Confederate meeting in Wetumpka here in a few weeks?
Yeah, probably. I mean, and he also says that it's also not true that black people are killed disproportionately by police. He doesn't believe that.
Has this guy ever heard of a statistic?
They're paying this genius to help out with our redistricting.
Yeah. So, he's obviously top notch guy.
Oh yeah.
You want the best and the brightest, and baby, we got him.
Yeah. Well, and we've only got about a minute left, but I do want to mention that there is a growing movement to ban books in public libraries, and the big library board, the appointed board, has now gone to Steve Marshall and asked Steve Marshall for an AG's opinion on how far they can go in banning books in public libraries. How do you think that's going to work out?
Yeah, well, all you need to do is wet your finger and stick it in the air and see which way the Republican wind is blowing, and you can know which way that Steve Marshall is going to go on an issue.
Well,
you're absolutely right.
I can tell you what's coming next is a bonfire of the vanities. They're going to burn the whole mother down.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're going to have to leave it right there. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. You watch us because we watch them.